talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Muppet Telethon. We have Muppets standing by to take your calls.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Rest in peace, Nate Dogg.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hold on. Who's coming down? Let's see who's coming down right now, Ruan. So I didn't mean to. Sorry, Ned. Take your attention away. I don't know who's. Nobody. Okay. Back to Wants. Sorry, Wants. Bear with me for a minute. Let me ask you a question.
Man, these white folks is crazy. I think the CIA is controlling my thoughts.
No, we're not.
Oh, I guess they're not.
Choke on your lies!
And now...
What's wrong with the lowest common denominator? That! That's what this country was built on!
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 21st of March.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel it, right? Do you feel the spring in the air?
I don't, because it's supposed to rain again today, I think.
Rain?
Oh. I think rain. Mm. Oh, I hate rain. I know rain. I'm in the minority here, but whew, had enough? Needed it? Got it?
Yeah, it's been insane. I will give you that. It's been more rain than even I'm used to.
Okay, good.
Still love it.
Still love it.
Yeah. I don't think there's anyone at this point in Los Angeles who's like, please bring more rain. Oh. We've had too much.
Okay, even people that like it.
Yes, even them.
Let's back off a bit on.
You like dessert, but you don't ask for 10 after your meal.
Some people like rain.
Okay. All right.
Really like rain.
All right. Well.
I take rain over dessert. That's how much I like rain.
I've been proven wrong. Guys, I'm trying to fill out my bracket.
Okay.
How's that going?
Not great. March Madness.
I haven't started yet, and it's due in, what, 4 hours? Couple hours?
We have an office pool going on.
Yeah.
We're all filling out college basketball brackets because there's a big thing going on.
That we can't name.
Well, right. I think you can because it's like news right now.
Sure.
Right? I don't know. Who knows? Rules are weird. But I feel like we're all putting in like 10 or 20 bucks or something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's all going to charity or something that legally we have to say on the radio.
Yeah. Allie need to eat.
That's the charity.
Yeah.
I don't feel as motivated as I want to be.
How come? Mm-hmm.
Well, because I think we could do side bets.
Side bets?
What do you mean?
Well, we fill it out
within
still.
Us three.
We fill it out entirely.
Yeah, yeah. No, we play the game normally.
And
like
then Allie wins because she picks by color of uniform and nonsense like that, and we all get annoyed.
And I think that between us three, we could do like a side bet.
Okay.
And I think that we can finally implement Cameo into the Kevin and Bean Show.
Interesting. So now that's where the, quote, celebrities, unquote, call your home.
By the way, the celebrities are being amped up.
Right.
Are they?
There's actual celebrities showing up on Cameo. We used to
and
just
And what
think,
exactly is Cameo? That's the video?
Okay. So basically you pay a certain amount between $5 and $1,000. And basically you can get a celebrity to send you a video message.
Okay.
Almost of anything you want. Until they made Brett Favre say some Nazi stuff, it was anything you want.
And they're like, all right, we're going to put on limits.
Then they made limits. Mm-hmm. But basically you can buy one for me or Kevin or whoever, and then, you know, make, for example, Katie Couric say whatever you want. That's a celebrity, by the way.
Wow. Like, hey, Jensen, I heard you're expecting a baby.
Exactly.
Good luck.
Ice-T.
Okay.
Black China.
Sure.
Football player Antonio Brown.
I want to know who's $5. Yeah. I don't know who's the bottom of that list, because that's crazy.
You won't know their names.
Okay.
You know, Andy Dick, Gilbert Gottfried. Mm-hmm. Ben Higgins of The Bachelor. So what I'm thinking is, if we do side bets, you would owe me a cameo, or I would owe you a cameo, or whatever it is.
Okay.
So meaning you would record a video and send it to me?
No. I would buy one for you.
Oh, I see what you're
like,
saying.
For example, say you wanted to have a message from Corey Feldman. Well, then I would be on the hook to...
I gotcha.
Corey Feldman.
And it would be like Jensen's the worst and loses at this every year.
Whatever you
and
want.
And you're the best, Kevin.
There you go.
Wow.
Whatever you would want.
Now, are we putting a limit on how much we're spending for the celebrity?
Yeah, I think we'd have to.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Let's say that you can't go higher than Vicki Gunvalson of Real Housewives of whatever she's on. And she's $100.
Okay.
So, like, the side bet would be don't spend more than $100.
And do we get to, like, let's say we lose the bet.
Yes.
we get to pick what celebrity for the winner?
That's what I would say.
Okay, that's amazing.
That's pretty
strong. Because I would get the jankiest.
So then we would split the 50 or whatever. So
the other two.
So yeah, so whoever does the best gets a cameo from the losers.
Is there only one side bet? There's not multiple ones?
I'm down for as many as you want. No, I'm just saying right now
the way you're presenting it is one side bet.
Right now.
Okay.
If someone wanted to then side bet me, like, for example, like, Brett the Hitman Hart is $150.
Nice.
Or Beverly Mitchell from One Tree Hill, I think. She's $40. Listen, I could do it all day. We could even get Dr. Drew, who's now $98. How we came up with that?
98?
No clue. But listen, I'm saying whoever loses here owes someone a cameo.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I'm in.
All right, good. Sign that in.
Done.
Now we have to fill out our brackets.
Fill out our brackets. And also what? Now the bet for the cameo is just who does best?
Yeah, that's a side
bet. Oh, I thought
you
were saying there's a different bet altogether.
No, 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 no. Side bet. Whoever out of
whoever wins gets the money. Whoever out of us three does the best
gets a cameo.
Wins.
Okay. Yep.
Gets the cameo.
Should we set the price right now on the cameo?
I say $100 is the high.
Okay. 100 is high.
100 is the high.
Okay.
Yeah, like, for example, we couldn't get Terrell Owens because he's $350.
Well, understandable.
But we could get Ryan Lochte because he's
$100. Oh, my God. That guy is such a human zero.
Oh, wow.
You wouldn't even be able to understand. You'd just look at him and go, is he talking? I don't.
Well, get ready for a human zero message.
He's so dull. I shouldn't have given you that tip.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I love it. Excellent.
Well, anyway, good luck to everybody.
All right. We will work on that. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Oh, are you done? I was hoping you'd talk more about yourself.
People are dumb on the program today?
They are.
Jensen has get up on this.
Mm-hmm.
Jensen, how did you first discover, hey, I sort of have an ear for things that are going to become the next thing?
As a kid, I knew I did it.
You did?
Yes. As a kid, I would basically, like, the Fugees' first album, which is not the one you guys, like, that everyone found out about, like, Killing Me Softly. Like, I was listening to Nappy Heads and all these songs that were kind of big in my car, and people were, who's this, who's this? And then 2 years, 3 years later, when they're like, that band that you used to listen, and then that was sort of the start for me.
So then you realize, oh, I actually
and
have
it. And I'm not a jerk about it. Do you know what I mean?
Like, correct.
I don't get mad when they become huge. I'm thrilled. So that's, I'm not like a hipster idiot.
But why do you hate the Fugees, though?
I love the Fugees, guys.
All right, so Fugees, by the way, at the Weenie Roast when we turned the stage, that was one of my best memories.
They were
a half hour late.
Great.
And we were on a really tight schedule because we turned the stage. We have band after band after band. We just said, look, you guys have 10 minutes. That's all that's left. And they went out and played songs no one knew. Mm-hmm. And then they went, kill it. And we just turned the stage.
Yeah. Oh, no.
While they're singing, you turn the stage on them.
I saw the Fugees in the 90s when they played in my Boston College cafeteria.
Cafeteria.
We used to have bands come, like, random off times. And I think it was the Black Student Body got this up-and-coming band to come in. And everyone's like, who are these Fugees? Let's go see them. And holy.
They were great.
It's still one of my favorite memories of school.
Wow.
Because
you hated school.
Well, I was drunk during most of it.
Yeah.
Job interview horror stories on today's show.
Yeah. Ooh.
A lot of people have to apply for jobs, and a lot of people aren't very good at it. Omar's a creeper, we found out yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, he's made up an excuse as to why he did this, but
it's an elaborate excuse. I give him credit for that.
Honestly.
But he got caught
peeking
at his neighbor.
But at least, like, he wasn't using binoculars or anything.
He was using binoculars.
Oh!
Right. also, we have Adam Carolla in studio.
Yeah.
We think.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully. And Dr. Drew will talk to us about
$98, Dr. Drew?
Will talk to us about CBD and how is he $98?
I don't know.
Yeah. Why can't you push it to 100?
He's going
to
blame it on his wife because he said that before. He's like, oh, my wife sets the standards. And
why would she set it? Just because I guess 98 sounds so much less than 100?
I mean, it's not Caitlyn Jenner who's $1,000.
Wow.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We will. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54. Allie McKay, what is happening?
Well, I'll tell you what's happening. Most people know that you are a huge Kings fan.
Mm-hmm.
I have gone to Kings games since I was literally in my mother's stomach.
Love it more.
Yeah. They bought season tickets in 1968 when they moved to L.A. They weren't great back then.
No.
Maybe.
They weren't great for a lot of years, including this year.
I was going to say, maybe even a little better than this year, however. But the Kings have been doing something so fun, and it's the Hockey Night in L.A. broadcast, where they have celebrities like Kevin Ryder.
I mean, I did it once.
And you,
It is embarrassing to be called a celebrity.
Well, you were wonderful. You were really great at it. Where you sit with the anchors and do a little chit-chat, then you go into the booth.
That was the great part.
You do something down by the ice. Like, it's a really fun time. They've had Thomas Middleditch do it. They had Snoop, Haley Joel Osment, Retta from Parks and Rec.
Snoop was the best.
Well, I don't know if he will retain that title.
Mm-hmm.
Because tonight, Thursday, March 21st, legendary anchorman and broadcaster Ron Burgundy will be part of the LA Kings telecast as he
joins.
What
does that do? Does that blow your mind?
Well, it
does.
That
just happened.
It does.
I thought it was Saturday night in LA or something like that. It's always a Saturday. They're doing it tonight? Maybe that's all the only time Will could do it.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's Saturday night until we get Will Ferrell, right. And he says he can only do it on Thursday.
Thursdays, then he'll do it.
And it's Thursday night in America.
Well, it says he's doing it tonight with
awesome.
Jim Fox, Alex Faust, obviously in the booth. Obviously expert commentary.
Of course.
In the booth. Do you think that Ron Burgundy is a huge hockey fan?
Oh, I think like any sport, he knows nothing.
Excellent.
And all of his,
excellent.
All of his references will be like of like 1940s hockey players that some research intern has written down for him.
Be like, why are they wearing helmets?
Yeah.
They didn't wear helmets when I used to watch. Oh, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's going to be
I'm
great.
Sure we'll be playing clips.
Absolutely. Any of you check Senator Cory Booker on Ellen yesterday?
Nope, did not.
He was on, just talking all about his girlfriend, Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, he's putting all the eggs in that basket, huh?
Sure is.
Saying what?
Like, I from what I understand, he's like been hinting to the idea that there could always be a White House wedding.
He said it again yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
He's joking, of course, that if it gets into marriage territory, I'll have a White House wedding with Rosario.
Boy, oh boy.
Calm your tees, Cory Booker. It's like you're watching someone that finally has a hot girlfriend and all they want to do is talk about it.
Yep.
And this just ain't Cory Booker. You're running for president. Talk about that, maybe.
He's not running for homecoming king.
Maybe a little bit more than your new hot girlfriend, Rosario Dawson. It was really uncomfortable and I don't want to say cringy, but cringy. And I like the dude. I think he's very personable, but...
Do you want to talk about Rosario?
Just cool.
Plus
it.
The Lincoln bedroom, huh?
Yeah. Right?
All right.
Gonna nail her in that room, right? Oh, can I just give you a quote and see if this is something that someone running for president should be talking about on Ellen?
Please.
As our love relationship grows, it's difficult, but she's just been a deeply soulful person that has taught me a lot of lessons about love already. And sometimes you show the greatest strength when you make yourself vulnerable.
Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, God!
I'm with that guy.
God!
She really has this nurturing spirit that's made me more courageous, not just in the love that I project and want to see in our country, but even in our personal relationship.
My God. Still going?
This is the girl from Josie and the Pussycats?
To love more fearlessly, so I'm very, very blessed to be with someone who makes me a better person.
I think he's a pussy.
That's something you write on your 6-month anniversary in a card.
6-year anniversary.
Well.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
It's just, it's a lot.
Sad.
It's a lot.
It almost guarantees that it's not going to work out.
100%.
This is the benefit of politics.
Absolutely. We were just talking about Jessica Simpson on Monday and the picture that she posted of her very pregnant belly, and she posted the words gestation.
And how I didn't see her at the doctor.
And you did not see her at the doctor, and you did not say that she looked miserable because she was so ready.
None of that stuff was
She did not look like a pot roast.
Well, she definitely had her baby, you guys.
Ooh.
On March 19th, she welcomed little Birdie Mae Johnson.
Yeah! Birdie Mae.
Isn't that a first lady already? Birdie Mae Johnson? It just sounds
Birdie
like it.
Birdie Mae Johnson does sound like she sits in a rocking chair all month.
I love it. Yeah, I love that name so very much. Weighing in at 10 pounds. I was going to say 10 ounces. 10 pounds. That's
a big boy.
That's a big baby.
Huge. And now it makes sense as to why it looked like she was going to burst at any moment.
Exactly. She has two other kids with her husband, former NFL player Eric Johnson, a son named Ace, and a daughter, Maxwell. So congratulations to Jessica Simpson.
He's a former NFL player in the same way I'm like a former rapper. Like, we did it professionally, but, like, also.
But can you really say
it? Can you say it?
Okay. Yeah. All right. So some dude named Eric and her had a kid.
There you go.
Excellent. Let's be honest.
Some birthdays for you. Gary Oldman, Rosie O'Donnell, Matthew Broderick, and someone I have not seen in the Bond movies, because he was not even on my top three of Bonds that I wanted to watch. Do you remember him in License to Kill or The Living Daylights? Who was that Bond?
License to Kill? I mean... Is it? It's not Roger Moore. It's not Sean Connery. Mm-mm. It's not Pierce Brosnan. Mm-mm. I mean, who's? I'm not a Bond expert,
I don't know.
Guys.
Timothy Dalton.
Okay, it would have taken.
I don't think I saw any
weeks to get there.
Timothy Dalton.
All right. He was also in Mary Queen of Scots and Hot Fuzz for a minute.
Get up on this just after 7 o'clock, and then in the 8 o'clock hour, Adam Carolla will join us in studio. Right now, it's time for
dumb.
I love these stories because they're not me.
No. They could be at any moment.
They could be, very well be. Mm-hmm. Six men in court after stripping off and throwing poo at each other on train.
Oh. Wait, what?
Surprised? Some of the poop grenades, in quotes, went astray and struck a female passenger.
Oh.
Can that be counted as assault?
Absolutely.
Yes.
That seems bad, right?
You could absolutely. I mean, throwing poo at someone is assault.
Yeah.
The group, aged 21 to 27, and males, of course, are also accused of loudly discussing their sexual exploits and asking passengers to expose themselves.
This is six dudes on a train?
Yep.
Good God.
They all face one charge of doing an act of outraging public decency while traveling.
Of a charge.
That was a charge. In the category of what are we paying you for, 20 cops disciplined for eating firefighters' snacks.
Oh.
So it's long been in Michigan, it's long been the policy that the fire department says, hey, police department, come on over anytime, use the restroom if you'd like, take some of our snacks if you'd like, you're welcome.
Mi casa, su casa.
Correct.
That's nice.
So then they did some remodeling and they took their snacks and they put them behind a locked door. And they kept disappearing. Mm. So then... the fire department complained. The police department started an investigation. They went to the security cameras, found 20 different cops in the police department using a credit card to open the door and get the snacks.
No.
They took all that time to do all of that, and then the fire chief said, okay, now that we figured out what it was, you can all have access to our food again.
What a roller coaster.
Wow.
What are we paying them for? What's happening here?
How nice is the fire department? Sure, you stole from us, but here, we'll make it easier for you instead of shimmying or jimmying open a cabinet.
You can shimmy it.
I know. That's how I open doors.
Those are the firefighters you like.
In the category of don't do something illegal while you're doing something illegal.
Mm-hmm.
In Scotts Valley, California, a few miles from Santa Cruz, a man was under investigation for receiving fraudulent welfare payments going back more than 10 years.
Okay.
In the course of the investigation, the cops discovered that the welfare recipient had purchased a house valued at $1.1 million.
Wow, that's quite an expensive house.
For a guy on welfare.
They got a warrant, they searched the man's house, and they found 115 marijuana plants, 90 pounds of processed pot for resale, $115,000 in cash.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
10 pounds of cannabis resin and 1,100 vape pen cartridges containing cannabis resin.
Smoke weed every day.
I don't think that's the point.
No, no. He should smoke weed every
day. He should smoke weed every day. Okay.
We had enough.
And a couple that I have audio from. This one is one of my favorites because I got to be honest, I'm surprised and disappointed in myself that I don't have a t-shirt cannon.
Yeah, you've like, talked about it. Yeah.
That's something I should have.
Yeah, and I have so many t-shirts for ammo.
Yeah, he wanted a t-shirt cannon, and then when you saw that hot dog cannon, right? That's kind of
a dream. And I emailed Jimmy, and I said, there's got to be a way I can get my hands on a t-shirt cannon or a hot dog cannon. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm sure that could be arranged.
Yeah.
And stupid me didn't follow up.
Yeah, got to send that follow-up.
Could you imagine having like a double, though? Like you could press a button, and it's hot dogs, press a button, and it's shirts?
That'd be pretty strong.
Nice.
And then you could choose depending on who you're shooting it at.
Whatever you're in the mood for.
An Oklahoma woman was arrested after authorities say she used a t-shirt gun to launch contraband into a prison.
Oh.
She packed it full of contraband and then shot it over the fence.
She should be celebrated.
That's what I'm saying.
And an Ulagaw woman is in jail tonight, accused of using a T-shirt gun to launch contraband over the wall at the North Fork prison in Sayre.
Now listen to all the stuff that she launched.
Genius.
Security says they saw the package launched over the fence, and then state troopers pulled over Carrie Jo Hickman not far from the prison. DOC says the package of contraband contained a cell phone, earbuds, chargers, meth, pot, and tobacco.
Why did meth not lead that off?
So calmly.
She's like, earbuds, meth.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a lot to put in a T-shirt cannon, right?
Yes.
That's crazy.
DOC says the package of contraband contained a cell phone, earbuds, chargers, meth, pot, and tobacco. Troopers say they found that T-shirt gun and another package inside Hickman's car. Records show Hickman has several drug convictions and just got out of prison in January.
Oh, well.
Just got out of prison in January.
She'll be bad.
Where'd she pick up? Where's she just driving around getting a T-shirt done?
Yeah.
Stop at CVS?
That's my thing, is where do you find those?
Yeah, you don't just
stumble.
There
has to be a place, because obviously all sports teams have them.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I assume maybe she stopped by a minor league baseball game.
I got to get me one. That's all there is to it. And I don't know if you guys saw the police chase Tuesday night. In Pacoima.
Oh, good.
It was a slow speed chase, and one of the weirdest endings, and you know I love the car chases, and every single time the ending is usually dull. The guy gets out, puts his hands behind his head, and arrested, blah, blah. The end of this chase was spectacular.
We begin with breaking news at 11 and a pursuit ending like no other.
The pit maneuver we have seen many times, but it's what happened right after that was so unusual. The suspect had some maneuvers of his own.
All right, so the pit maneuver, of course, is when the cop hits the back of the car in front of him and it spins it.
Yeah, tail out.
And then they all sort of surround him and he's caught.
Turns out he gets out of the car. Puts on a little dance performance right in the middle of Laurel Canyon Boulevard.
He gets out of the car and starts break dancing.
Was he good?
Yes!
Awesome!
Pardon from me!
While multiple officers surround him, he does an impromptu little dance here, as you see. Our own Chris Christie was live overhead in Air 7 HD. This is how Chris called it as that suspect started to bust a move.
Oh, okay. Suspect doing some break dancing here in the middle of the roadway, and he is definitely playing games with officers now, putting on quite a show for the CHP helicopter, which has now arrived on scene as well.
Maybe he thought he was on a spotlight. We don't know.
No!
A lot of better jokes could have went there.
Yeah.
So he thinks he could dance.
Right?
Shortly after that dance performance, he got on his knees, put his hands on his head like he was supposed to, and cuffed by CHP officers and taken into custody. This pursuit began in Calabasas as a failure to yield. It went across the 101, the 405, and the 118 freeways before ending on Laurel Canyon Boulevard in Pacoima.
Wow. Imagine breakdancing with cops surrounding you, pointing their gun at you.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's pressure.
How did you know my fetish?
That's a competition show I would watch.
Absolutely. I'll
tell you that right now. Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54. Just after 7 o'clock, get up on this with Jensen. Mm-hmm. Then in the 8 o'clock hour, Adam Carolla. And also...
Mm-hmm. It's the weirdest noise.
Why did you make that noise?
I don't know. Well, he was saying,
I was like, but then it
went too
went
high?
Up like five
it
octaves.
Too high. I was like the opposite of Elizabeth Holmes.
And Omar, for some reason, we found out yesterday, is a total creeper.
Oh.
And
we found out yesterday.
Was using binoculars on his neighbor who caught him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
So that's coming up as well right now. What's happening, Allie?
Well, what's happening is sometimes I like to listen to some Star Wars rumors.
What?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So after Game of Thrones ends on their 6-episode, 8th season this May, the showrunners, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, are moving on to create several Star Wars films next. The shoot reportedly begins this fall. Very little is known about it, but Star Wars News Net claims an anonymous contact has said that he's working on the film, and he has leaked some info their way. They're
it's
90,
Chewbacca, isn't it?
They're 95% confident that it's accurate.
Okay.
And they said it's not the Rian Johnson trilogy. It's the Game of Thrones guy's first movie. And it's set during the Old Republic as Disney wants to open up the Star Wars timeline and appeal to a more Game of Thrones style audience.
Right.
So people are saying it's along the lines of Star Wars, almost like Star Wars meets Lord of the Rings type of thing. Which is interesting.
Huh.
We'll see how that goes. Apparently, The timeline is hundreds of years prior to the Skywalkers in the Old Republic.
Hmm. So they're just going to open up a whole new universe.
Looks like that.
They like money.
All right.
They do like money, and they will get that money.
Yes, they will.
Absolutely. So, 25 new recordings added to the Library of Congress's National Recording Registry this year. Do you know how many recordings they already have so far?
I do not.
They have about 525 recordings, and these have to be deemed worthy of preservation because of their cultural, historic, and aesthetic importance to the nation's recorded sound heritage. So it's important. If you get in this, you did something culturally that's different.
So Limp Bizkit.
Not yet. Here are the new ones that are going in. Jay-Z's The Blueprint.
Okay.
Cyndi Lauper's She's So Unusual.
Okay.
Curtis Mayfield's Superfly soundtrack. Hmm. Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline.
Okay.
Of course.
Of white people.
Nina Simone's Mississippi Goddamn. Mm-hmm. Earth, Wind, and Fire's September. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I agree.
The original Broadway cast recording of the music Hair. I didn't really say music.
You didn't.
Hair. It just came out music Hair.
Fine.
I don't know.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, whatever. Obviously, Richie Valens, La Bamba. Hell yeah, put that in.
Okay.
Not my Richie.
Well, that's the music.
That's
not
the movie. Yeah, but right. I do. La Bamba. It's Richie Valens.
I'm in.
Great. Absolutely.
No one's disagreeing with
you. Come on, you guys.
No, no, no. Richie Valens. We're all fine with
it's
Richie
all right,
Valens.
It's all right. We're with you.
Okay. But here's the one that I just went, of course.
Alien Ant Farm Anthology.
Yes.
Anthology.
No. Anthology.
Can I tell you my guess?
Yes.
How many shrimps do you have to eat before you make your skin turn pink? Eat too much and you'll get sick. Shrimps are pretty rich.
Here's the thing with that song.
That beat drop is strong.
It's amazing. I don't think culturally we've even begun to see.
Hasn't started
yet. Can I make a guess?
I would love for you to, yeah.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your
game on,
go play.
What do you think? Hey now,
you're a rock star. Get
I mean,
it's tough to argue, right?
It should be. Okay. Absolutely.
But it's not.
But when I tell you this, you're all going to go, how was it not in before? Hmm.
Okay.
The box set featuring the music of Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh,
of course.
Oh, that makes sense.
I like that.
Of course.
Now we all know how to become a Bill.
Absolutely. Oh, I love Schoolhouse Rock growing up. Didn't you guys?
It was a little too smart for me. I was
okay.
Thank you for taking my answer.
Yeah, I was like a little more Fraggle Rock.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Wipe your tears
away. Or Rest in Peace Tom Hatton.
Oh,
I used to wake up every morning and watch him draw Popeye.
And we thought as kids that he's the one that drew Popeye.
He's not.
Turns out he's not. He just drew it on Saturdays.
Yeah, well.
Oh, man. That was it. For me on the weekends, it was watching him and, of course, Cross Superstars.
Yes.
So waking up and watching that. Oh, those dudes. Lot of drugs, right?
Tom Hatton?
No.
Oh, yeah. No. But you could start that rumor about Tom Hatton if you like.
No, I don't want to.
He just passed away.
Just beloved and just a lovely, lovely human being.
He was great.
Had the same partner for 50 years.
Wow. Oh.
Good dude.
Good dude, you guys. Way to take it down about death, Jensen. We were having fun with Schoolhouse Rock.
We did.
Were we? Fraggle Rock?
Fraggle Rock, though. Coming back, right?
Fraggle Rock?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's got to come back for all new generations.
I thought you were telling us it is.
Da-da-dum-dum-dum-da-da-dum. Do you remember the theme song?
Dancer Cares Away.
Yeah.
Worries for another day.
Asking Ally McKay if she remembers the Fraggle Rock theme.
Down in Fraggle Rock.
Is sort of forgetting your brand.
It is my brand. Dancer Cares Away. Worries for another day. Let the music play. Down in Fraggle Rock. Oh. Man.
Put that in the registry.
That's what I'm saying.
Or whatever it is.
So, yeah, whatever that
put
is.
That in the book of stuff.
Yeah. Put that in the time capsule.
Some birthdays for you. Rosie O'Donnell, Timothy Dalton, Matthew Broderick, and Gary Oldman. And
about an hour from now, Omar is a creeper.
Mm-hmm.
Find out about that.
There's probably one right now, too, but we'll find out why.
Right.
Yeah.
It came to our attention yesterday in a very clear way. And
you don't just become a pervert. You're one your whole life.
That is true. But he was able to hide it until yesterday. So we're going to tell you about that. And the Ace Man, Adam Carolla, will also join us in studio. Right now, Jensen is here with... Get up, get on.
right, wish me luck here.
Wish you luck.
Yeah, this one's going to be a little difficult to explain.
All right.
Over the last 6 months of me being on the show, I think the number one thing that people have reached out to me about, and it's kind of shocking, most people have asked me about sneakers.
Well, yeah, okay, because you've talked about how you have a collection.
And... I'm a shoe head, as everyone knows. Could have went sneakerhead, went the other way.
Sure.
And so, I talk about pinball and wrestling and things that I'm into, but I don't really, I would say I've gotten maybe 20 to 30 messages just asking me how to start, how to get into the game, if I think these shoes are good, if they should pick up this one, are these comfortable, are these good for collectors?
Do you do it for an investment or not at all?
That's a great question that I don't know the answer to.
Okay.
I have probably 150 pairs of shoes. I would say I rotate around 10 of them. So
really?
Yeah, how many of them are unopened?
Oh, well, they're all opened.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah. When I got engaged to Danielle, she was smart enough to work through my OCD and say, we'll pull them out of boxes and we'll get you cases. So I have like this very cool display that she bought me for Valentine's Day 1 year that's all like a plastic open cases.
So you can see them.
Exactly.
Oh, that's pretty
easy.
Cool.
Okay.
Still, the disease is strong and prevalent that
but
I don't wear them all.
You only wear about 10.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But then eventually I'll throw those away and then new ones go into the rotation.
Okay.
So I'm not that unhealthy. But I do love shoes. And it seems that other people do too. But it is a daunting hobby, a daunting thing to get into.
It can be an expensive thing too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I wanted to help them out. And this is the easiest way for me to do so. And I assume that you... don't have the kind of time that like a 15-year-old Fairfax High School student has where you have to like wait in line for hours and maybe even
sometimes
like days.
Overnight.
And then online, even when they're released, it takes 5 seconds and they're sold out. And these are mostly Nikes are what I collect. But this happens with, you know, the Kanye Reeboks and Adidas and, you know, all those things that are going on. So here we go, guys. This is an app. And it's for the casual fan who's looking to get cool sneakers.
Okay.
Casual fan. So
casual.
You don't have to start a collection and do all that 150 pair crap.
All. You could just get into cool sneakers. It's called StockX.
Okay.
It's downloadable. A lot of people might know about it already, but I think when I've been taking these questions from listeners, no one knows what it is.
StockX.
Founded in 2015 by Detroit native Josh Luber. It's a partnership with the Cleveland Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert. You know him because he went in and out of fights with LeBron James. But he's also an investor and an entrepreneur. And StockX is an online marketplace for buying and selling sneakers online with a very easy-to-follow interface. And all you need is a beginner-level knowledge of the shoe game, which is just basically, I like these.
Right.
That's all you need to know. The site acts as a middleman between buyers and sellers. It's a secondary market kind of thing, and it helps kind of change the arduous and sometimes shady task of using eBay or Craigslist to buy sneakers.
Can you use like filters for the stuff that you really like versus stuff
absolutely
you don't like?
You could put a heart on it and then it ends up in your, you know, sort of in your cache, so you can see what you're into. For every purchase made on the app, StockX uses a staff of almost now 500 employees to find experts to make sure everything you purchase is authentic and guaranteed to be so.
Wow.
Now, this is a problem. Sneakers is such a big business now that you have factories in China recreating them and having a whole new business for just bootlegs.
Right.
So shoes that cost, you know, there's shoes on this app that I'm not encouraging you to buy, but there are thousands of dollars worth of shoes.
Wow.
But then there's normal, 150, whatever.
That's a lot, by the way.
That is a ton of money for sneakers. So you no longer have to worry about scammers or fakes, but also the site works as a stock market of sorts, hence the name. You can easily track the aftermarket value of these shoes, what they're selling for, and how many people are buying them. They also include streetwear, watches, and handbags. Now, I'm just putting you onto the sneakers part. But if you could buy something on the site, you could either purchase it immediately for the price the seller is looking to sell it for. So, for example, if you're selling it, you put it up, you say, I want $150 for that. Oh, good, I'll buy that. Click the button.
So this is a secondary market, though.
Absolutely.
So the guy who had it may have bought it for $99, and he's selling it for $150.
And it's right there on the site. You can see how much he paid for it retail as well.
All right.
I just looked up a shoe that I had a long time ago.
Sure.
And I'm going to tell you, they were the most comfortable shoes, you know, when I'm out there balling.
Yes.
yes. They were the Grant Hill Fila 95.
Great shoes.
The greatest.
Great
they
shoes.
They were so great.
And they re-released them recently.
I thought he was super cute. That's why I got the shoe.
Of course.
$228 is the lowest ask.
Yeah, so you can buy
it. Now buy or bid.
And on the same page, it should tell you the retail, so you can decide whether or not that's a good purchase.
This is fantastic.
And then on top of that, as you see, you can see...
Wait, there's purses.
Right.
That's what he said.
I wasn't listening.
But also, the other cool part is you can see what other people are paying for the Grant Hills right now currently on the site.
Amazing.
Now, do you look at this in case you want to get rid of some?
I've done that.
Like, this one is through the roof. Yeah. I don't know why, but I'll sell it.
Yes, that happens all the time.
No, I normally
keep them, but I do buy a lot on this site. And that works. Sometimes you can get shoes for under retail.
Wow.
So if there's a lot on the site, it costs $180 if you go to, like, a Foot Locker. But on the site right now, it could be $140. The seller pays about 8% to 9.5% fee to StockX. Mm-hmm. The buyer doesn't give any money to StockX. And that's basically... you have to do that and link it up to your credit card or PayPal. So there's no such thing as not giving the money immediately. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sure.
So like there's no world where the guy doesn't pay you on eBay. It just takes out the money. Over $2 million is currently being traded daily on StockX
daily.
Daily. $2 million. Once it sells, the seller ships the item to StockX within 2 days. They have to do it within 2 days.
Okay.
And then it's authenticated by StockX itself. They put a little tag on it if the sell is real.
Huh.
The company is owned alongside Quicken Loans. It has now raised over $50 million in investors. It could take on way more, but it's decided to sort of just use their own dough. And they're even opening drop-off locations in London, New York, Los Angeles. So if you sell something, you drop it off, you get the money immediately.
So you never have to worry about something not being real, because if it's sent to StockX and they don't authenticate it, the sale doesn't go through.
Sale ends. I actually had that happen.
Wow.
So I bought a pair of shoes. They shipped it within 2 days. StockX sent me a nice email that said, hey, listen, man, we're not going to send you the shoes. Giving you your money back. We're sending it back to seller. We can't authenticate.
That's fantastic.
It's incredible. But the best...
Do you know if they have purses?
They have purses and watches. Did you mention the watches, too?
She was technically looking at the site already when I said it. But here's the thing, guys. I'm telling you, there's competition out there like Grailed Goat, which was recently purchased by Foot Locker for $100 million, one of their competition. Stadium Goods. This is a business now. Basically, finding secondary shoe market. You will be surprised. You'll love it. You'll be like, oh, these look great. And then $150, I'll buy these. It will happen to you. I will start your disease. StockX is the easiest way to do it at really good prices. And that is my get up on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Get up,
get on up
on this.
Get up, get on.
1 hour from right now, Adam Carolla joins us in studio. Let's talk about bad interview.
Like job interviews.
Yeah, you gave a bad interview. Maybe you're the employer who interviewed somebody, or you're the possible employee.
Yeah.
There were several interviews that I had that I remember walking out and thinking to myself, no idea what happened.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Did it go well? I don't know.
Who cares? Who knows?
You blacked out.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just because you're nervous and you think you're answering wrong.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to figure out what they want to hear to make sure that you get hired. I don't know. It's just, it's a very nerve-wracking thing.
I mean, I guess I'm not good at auditions.
Right.
Like I'm sort of
the same thing.
Yeah, I'm decent at interviews, but I'm very bad at auditions. So I feel like it's up to each person as to where they nail it or just fail.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I've walked out of auditions before and just been like, oh, if they hired me, they'd be idiots. Like I almost feel like I would lose respect for them.
I should email them now and let them know.
Let them know I'm taking myself out of the run.
I have thought many times walking out, well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
There's no possible way that's going to happen. So we're going to take your calls if you're on either side. If you're the employee and you did an interview that was, you nailed it or didn't. Disasters are always funnier.
Right.
Or if you're an employer that had people come in and do interviews. I don't know if you guys remember this in Step Brothers.
Oh, yes.
One of my favorite movies.
Yes.
But this is them doing interviews for jobs that they really didn't want.
Yeah.
So they were trying to fail them.
Mr. Huff, under your references, you listed Dale Dobek, which I know is this gentleman, but you also listed Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are looking for people we can contact.
We want to tell you the stuff we're not good at.
Our weaknesses.
So we're clear up front.
Okay. We're not generally comfortable in an office setting, I would say.
I get cooped up.
I won't go into an office that's ever been used before.
I am no good before 11 a.m.
Just trying desperately to not get that job.
I also get headaches from computers, so I can't be around them for too long.
I take stuff.
I need to have someone go up and down with me in the elevator.
I have a weakness for sweets.
Other weaknesses? We're slow learners, and we're not particularly good listeners. That'll be a huge problem.
We're also slow learners.
I'm just looking to hire guys that I don't mind hanging out with for like 12 hours a day. You guys seem like cool guys. You got hair similar to mine. You wear tuxedos to the interview. That's funny. It's ironic. I get that. You're kind of underplaying the whole formality of it. I think that's funny as hell. So let's do this. You know, you guys are hired. You're in, you know, unless you're like the weirdest guys ever and I don't see it.
Great.
Was that a fart?
I don't know.
Honestly, why is that my favorite part of Step Brothers? Was Seth Rogen just like, what?
I don't know, because when I was playing the clip, it kept going, kept going. And as soon as the fart was coming up, Allie put both hands up in the air like it was a victory.
It was her favorite part of the song at the concert.
It's my favorite.
I guess the only thing I've ever had is I interviewed people for the art gallery that I own, and a woman once came in to interview for the manager position and was about 40 minutes late to the interview. She walks in and I was looking for, like, my car broke down. I was looking for an excuse. Like,
something
to explain.
Because that's way too late for just...
That's really late.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she didn't give me one of those emergency excuses, which I listened for at first. And then I just honestly looked at her and was like, listen, I could waste your time, or I could just tell you that it's not a good way to start off an interview by being 40 minutes late, not really having like a crazy excuse. I was like, so let's just call it a day and you can walk out and, you know, and maybe we'll have a position down the road and you could come in and interview for that one and be on time. Yeah. And then she just
snapped.
No, she just didn't know what to say. So it was just staring at each other for maybe 40 seconds.
No.
Well, that seems like forever.
Like, she talked a little bit, but I mean, it was like we mostly just stared at each other for about 30 to 40 seconds.
Why didn't she just get up and walk out?
I don't know. I gave her the out, and she was just
pretty
like,
strong out.
She was like, what if I, like, we could just start. No, I'm just staring at her, and she's staring at me. What if we just start over? And I was like, well, I said I had other candidates earlier that are really good, and they weren't late, so...
Right.
I'm going to move. So I guess if I ever die or my house burns down, we know who it was.
When we had interns, we would have them come in and do interviews, and Omar would sit in to torture them.
Ugh.
And it really sort of was hard to watch because you know how nervous they are. And they're in a room of like five of us and only one of them. And they would shake all of our hands, and then they would get around to Omar, and they would reach out their hand, and Omar would just look at the hand and then go, I don't shake hands.
What a dick.
And I gotta tell you, as cruel as that seemed, you find out a lot about a person when that happens. Because are they able to roll with it? Can they just go, all right, fine, sit down? Like, what kind of confidence level do they have?
Right.
He was doing it to be a dick.
We have a very safe work environment here. That's
what we're saying, sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's take one phone call, 1-800-520-1067. Then we'll take a break and take more. Steven is calling from Long Beach. Good morning, Steven.
Good morning. So I was a producer on a pretty major television show back in the early 2000s, and it's a show that Allie loves. Anyway, I was looking for a production coordinator. We interviewed this young lady who was working on a...
Okay, I hate to do this to you, but our phones are crap, so you're just going to have to get right to the punchline, okay? Just tell us exactly at the end. Okay.
I'm interviewing her, and I asked her what is the job she was working on, and she started bawling and crying because she hated the job so much. And I just didn't, you know, I'm just sitting there going, oh, my God, what do I do? What do I do? She finally got her to stop crying, and I hired her. She was the best production coordinator I ever had.
Really?
Oh, that ended nice.
Who could have seen that coming?
Can you imagine, though,
it was shocking.
Being so miserable at the job you're at that you're sobbing trying to get another job?
And you have to be thinking in your head, this is ruining my chance for this job.
Right.
Because I'm sobbing.
Oh, I'm glad it worked out.
Same. Thank you, Stephen. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We'll take your calls. We are talking about the job interview horror stories. We're going to do this just before Sublime. Let's talk to Jeff in Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
So, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
So, I had been interviewing for an assistant in my department last year or 2 years ago, and this woman came in, and she was wearing a see-through shirt when she came for the interview.
How has she worked out?
Well, I didn't hire her.
Okay. Good for you, Jeff. Good for you. You married her.
Yeah.
She's now my wife.
Yeah, it was just, it was really strange. Like, I never had that. I've interviewed a lot of people before, but, I mean, all the women in the front office and everything, just, they kind of gave me a crooked eye. You know, they looked at me like, what the heck? You know, like, who comes in to an interview wearing that?
That is an odd move.
Can I ask what the job was?
It's an assistant. She's just going to be my assistant to, like, an administrative assistant type of position.
Well, I think you're, I think the meetings that she set up would be a lot more fun.
I'm saying, right?
1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. We'll talk to you right after Sublime on the world famous K-Rock. We are talking about interviews are very, very stressful. And we're talking about interview horror stories, whether you're the interviewer or the interviewee. Let's start with line 7 and Chris in Anaheim. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning.
Hey. So your story looks pretty bizarre.
Yeah, so I was a retail manager a few years ago, and I remember talking to a kid in front of my store, and the first question I asked him was like, you know, why do you want to work here? And he said, well, I like the product you sell. And out of nowhere, I hear a voice from behind. No, it's because he's going to work hard, and if he doesn't, you know, his mom's going to beat him up. And I turn around, and I'm like, is that your mom?
Are you kidding?
And he nodded. No, I'm not.
It was his mom.
It was his mom. So every time I asked him a question, if she didn't like the answer, she would answer for him.
Unreal.
Oh, that poor kid.
She's a snowplow or whatever. Unbelievable.
Oh, that poor kid. How did it end? Just no way because she was too much trouble?
I just gave it a couple more minutes. I said, you know what? We're talking to a lot of applicants. I'll give you a call.
Oh,
I'll call your mom.
That poor kid's like, please, I just want to get out of the house. Please help me.
I'm handcuffed to this table. Help.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Laura, who's calling us from Huntington Beach. Good morning, Laura.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So this is about my husband. He was interviewing for his very first teaching job. And, you know, he's excited. He's nervous. He talks with his hands a lot. Mm-hmm. And as he's talking, he moves his arm and knocks over this vase that was on the principal's desk, and it shatters.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He got the job.
Plus, very memorable.
How about that?
The principal's remember vase guy? I'm hiring him.
My nightmare is looking down and seeing if there's, like, ashes on the floor.
Oh, no.
That's my dad!
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Luckily, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Thank you very much, Laura, for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Lena in Pasadena. Hi there.
Hi, good morning. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
Love you guys. My parents used to listen to you as I was driving to school.
You have terrible parents,
so,
go ahead.
So I went in an interview for a hostess job at one of one of the high-end restaurant groups in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, it was the early 2000s, so I had like red fire engine colored tips of my hair.
Right.
And it was dyed, and, you know, Gwen Stefani, she's my love. So anyways, he's like, all right, so we'll hire you, but you have to hide your hair. And I'm like, okay, so...
hide your hair?
First day I'm there, yeah, hide my hair, because they didn't like that it was bright red.
But okay. What did you do? Wear a hat?
No, I just, like, put it in a bun or braided it.
Okay.
So I actually braided it that day, and it was the first day. It was kind of a soft opening, and the family that owned that restaurant group was seated in the front of the restaurant. And so they said, oh, the owner, I'm like, oh, my gosh, she's going to tell me that she doesn't like my hair. And so I go over, and she compliments my hair,
yes,
loving it. And she's this older white lady, and her name was Bunny, and she just loved my hair.
God bless Bunny.
That's awesome.
Well, you also.
Yeah, and so I got to stay, and yeah, so it was great.
Well, watch your language when you're in front of the owner is what I'm saying. In front of Bunny.
I know, right? Sorry about
that. No worries.
I like your hair and your language. Thank you for calling. All right, let's go to Nathan in Santa Ana. Good morning, Nathan.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, so I was hiring, I was applying to be a server at a proven restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and I get there, and the lady, the owner, comes and sits me down and starts to interview me right away.
Okay. And mid-interview, I can only imagine what would be her son. The manager comes over, walks over to us at the table, slams his hands on the table and says, no, we're not hiring any servers right now.
No.
And what? The owner, the lady says, oh, yes, we are. And they go back and forth. And it progressively gets louder and louder and louder. We're not in a private room. We're in the middle of the restaurant. So everyone eating starts looking at us. And then,
so and basically the owner and the manager start fighting in the middle of your interview.
Exactly.
Sounds like a chill place to work.
Wow. Did you get it? Yeah, or did you just say, I'll be right back and leave?
Yeah, I just kind of like grabbed my resume and snuck away.
That's nuts.
This is like a bar rescue episode.
You don't want any part of that.
No.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Jasmine in Long Beach. Good morning, Jasmine.
Hi, good morning.
Talking about interview horror stories.
Yeah, so I was 19, 20 interviewing for Bath & Body, and the lady takes me to the middle of the food court. And she's rude the entire time. It's just any answer I gave her, trying to tell her I'm a good worker, and she just kept telling me, well, what makes you think we don't already have that?
Wow.
Oh.
And it was just kind of like, oh, okay. So, you know, I just kept going. I'm really good at just lying on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, they gave me a second interview, but then they canceled it and gave that same interview to my older sister.
Oh.
It has to be your
and
older sister.
My sister was late for the appointment or for the interview, and they didn't give her the job. But it was just like, after they called me, they called my sister right next to me and gave her the same day, same time.
Yeah, Jasmine, do you have an older sister or something that we could talk to?
Yeah, basically, right? Can you pass the phone to your sister?
Yeah, that's like what a creepy boyfriend says.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Garen in Upland. Hi there.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning to you, too.
You're going to do really well in business with Theranos.
Sorry.
Yeah, definitely.
Go ahead.
So I had to set up the day aside for interviews on an outside sales role in my previous company. And this lady comes in very, very good looking, dressed very nice. And I could tell she's not wearing any underwear, but no big deal on that. And she didn't know anything about what we did. So I asked her, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to learn about this industry? And she said, I will dissect anything I can and be the best I can at it. And she looks at me straight dead in the eye and goes, just like your management style, I'll dissect it, I'll learn about it, and I will suck the bone completely dry.
No, she didn't say that.
This is a movie you watch.
She didn't say that.
He swears.
Allie. Speaking about sucking the bone dry, call me later.
Jared!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54, just after the top of the hour. We found out yesterday that Omar uses binoculars to look at his neighbor.
Yeah.
Well, I think he has a different angle on it.
I mean, the story he told us yesterday, which was clearly false.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll discuss. Right now, it's time for What's Happening. Here's Allie.
I mean, I'm surprised he's at work today and not arrested.
Agreed.
The dude is sick.
Man is sick in the head.
All right, that's a little far. But you guys, WonderCon Anaheim 2019 is happening at the Anaheim Convention Center March 29th through the 31st. How would you like a pair of one-day passes to go check out WonderCon? We're going to take callers 10, 11, and 12 right now at 1-800-520-1067, and you are going to get a pair of passes, a one-day pass, to WonderCon Anaheim 2019, Anaheim Convention Center, March 29th through the 31st. You can go to comic-con.org for more info.
1-800-5800-TOM.
No, that's not.
I don't think that's actually
call now.
The number.
1-800-520-1067. I love you.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the number for sure. You guys, Bill and Ted, right?
Right.
Bill and Ted. They did Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Well, yesterday we saw Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves standing there at the Hollywood Bowl about to make an announcement. And, well, I'll just let them tell you.
Hi, I'm Alex Winter.
And I'm Keanu Reeves. And together we are
Wild Stallions. And we are here at the Hollywood Bowl, where we'll never play.
Never play.
No. But we're here to announce something.
Yes. We want to say thank you to you, the fans.
We do.
Because it looks like we might...
Actually...
Hopefully...
make a movie this summer.
Bill and Ted 3.
Face the Music.
Yes.
And it is all because of you guys, and so we owe you a huge debt of gratitude, and we wanted to say thank you.
Thank you.
And be excellent.
Be excellent.
It's kind of a bummer. It's not a great announcement.
Is it really?
Did they talk it out at all?
Right. So the two films.
We just sort of want to say that
we got a movie.
We're gonna do a thing.
I guess we'll shoot it.
There's a movie. We're gonna do a film. We'll work on it. We'll read a script.
We haven't written it yet, but
I hope it works.
It'll be good.
Be excellent.
You guys, the first movies were released in 1989 and 1991. Why so soon?
Wow.
For Bill and Ted Face the Music. Do you want to know what it's about?
Sure. Sure.
Yet to fulfill their rock and roll destiny, the now middle-aged friends set out on a new adventure.
Middle-aged is kind, by the way.
When a visitor from the future warns them that their song, and only their song, can save life as we know it and bring harmony to the universe. Along the way, they're going to be helped by friends, family, and a few music legends.
I feel this is going to be extremely cameo heavy.
I believe so. Yeah, old friends and a few music legends. Yeah. Here's the thing. It's going to be in theaters August 21st, 2020. So get to filming, you dudes.
Alex Winter went on to become a pretty good documentarian.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he made like a documentary on Bitcoin. I know he's working on one right now for HBO about child stars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff. Jensen.
Yes.
When did you think, you know what, this is a good relationship, I would like Danielle to meet my mother? How soon into dating?
I think she met my mom about 2 months in?
Yeah.
3 months in?
That seems like around the time. About 3 months is when you're like,
because in the past I was bringing her on first dates, and that was
that's dumb. Bringing your mom on first dates?
Yeah, because like, you know.
I brought her to the job interview here, remember?
Right. True, because you know what? She has good ideas.
Good instincts. Well, another couple, which again, how is this real? Kate Beckinsale and Pete Davidson were out, and he met her mom, Judy. They went out to dinner. Here's why I'm telling you. Not only that he's meeting her mom, but it was a celebratory dinner because it was the, well, not celebratory, but it was the 40th anniversary of her father's death. So they get together and kind of mourn and chat about dad and that type of thing.
And Robert.
And they brought
she invited
Pete
him?
Davidson. What's happening, you guys?
This is a guy. I feel like he's soon going to get a tattoo for her dad. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Like, I just feel like he gets involved in these things too fast.
Yeah.
Does he he needs to feel loved. Is that it? Is that the, we all? I mean, really?
Yeah, we all do, but I just feel like he.
But there's a level of desperation where you're getting a tattoo immediately is a little scary.
Right,
it's just like, you know that one friend you have where they start dating someone and they are like super into him real fast?
This is it. He's the one.
And then you roll your eyes and you're like, ugh. And then they break up and then she knows not to do it again or he knows not to do it again.
Right.
This is the exact, this person just keeps doing it.
Yeah.
It's like eye roll.
Yeah. So, if
2 months is a long time for him, then.
That would, two months,
they'd be married.
Married and a child. Yeah, kids and stuff.
It's insanity. Yeah. Absolute insanity, you guys. I don't think we need that, puppy.
That's
girl.
Not a great sound, I'll tell you that.
Some birthdays for you. We've got Timothy Dalton. I don't want to watch his Bond movies. Is that bad? Like, now that I'm a Bond watcher.
You've seen two.
It's right.
You've seen two. I think you're good.
Yeah.
There are others that you should see.
Yeah. All right.
I think you're good.
Okay. Rosie O'Donnell, I don't want to watch Smilf. Good, because it was
canceled.
It's
over now, yeah. It's over. Although I would watch Rosie O'Donnell as Bond. I'd be into it.
It would be a very different movie.
I would watch it.
Gary Oldman, I'll watch anything that dude same. Does. And Matthew Broderick, right?
Another
right.
good Bond. Matthew Broderick would be good.
No.
He would
good God. You've never seen a Bond movie.
No, I haven't. No, you caught
me. Okay, all right.
You caught me.
Adam Carolla is coming in studio in about 15 minutes here on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:05. Omar Khan is in the studio.
DJ Omar Khan,
DJ
please.
Omar Khan.
Omar, please.
Oh, right. Thank
Hot
you.
Names for this guy.
Hot Omar.
You're like a Wu-Tang fan member.
Yeah. Hey. We've been telling everybody all day that you're a creep.
I'm not a creep, guys.
We'll be the judge of that.
That's okay. What a creep would say.
Exactly.
So this past Sunday, we had a birthday party for my daughter, and during the middle of it, there was a bit of commotion indoors because there was a yellow jacket inside.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever been stung by a yellow jacket?
I have not.
Oh, it hurts like a mother.
Not only do I hear that it hurts, but if you happen to be allergic, it can kill you or do some serious damage, right? So this is what my sister-in-law tells me. She tells me if the yellow jacket is aggressive enough to come indoors, you probably have a nest nearby.
No.
Yeah. So you need to kind of, you know, check around and make
sure. You mean
like
around your roof or something?
Around your roof, around maybe a tree, under the eaves or something.
A neighbor's bedroom?
You need to check this out, you know? We'll get to that.
Is your sister-in-law like a biologist?
How does she know that?
I don't know.
Why did you question her?
But she's like freaking me out. So I was like, okay, you know. So she's like, you know what, try to find it.
I'll get my beekeeper suit.
Check under your eaves and call the bug guy. They'll take care of it. No problem. But just make sure, you know, look around. So on Monday,
a bee just flew in your house.
I mean, that's also possible.
Right. Maybe that is possible, but
okay. A yellow jacket.
I guess it's not really that common for yellow jackets to be in our area. I don't know. Okay, this is what I've been told. And I'm like,
you're going on very shaky information.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? I saw the Bee movie with Jerry Seinfeld, and I know what he did. So
for me, there's no downside. And, you know, I don't want my kids to get stung.
Sure.
And so on Monday, I grab, I start looking around, you know, the house, and I have a two-story house, and I can't really see under the eaves clearly, but I have these, I went to Yellowstone a couple of years, and I have these really cool binoculars that can see really far.
Right, hold.
Right, for Yellowstone.
This is where Omar starts to build the defense.
Listen,
yes.
No, so, I get the binoculars.
Let's call this segment from this point on evidence. Go on.
So, I'm looking under the eaves, and I'm checking everything out, and everything looks super normal. There's nothing going around in my house.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So now you think.
So I think, maybe it's the neighbors, right? So I go on one side and I'm looking, down there. Oh, nothing. Then I go over here to the other one and I'm kind of like checking it out. And there's this like weird angle and I'm trying to like lean over. And when you have binoculars, you don't have any peripheral vision.
Right.
So it's very tunnel vision. And I kind of like step back and I pan down and my neighbor is in the window for a split second and she closes the blinds.
So she was watching you.
I don't know
look at her
how long,
with binoculars.
Dude. Yeah, that happened.
Did you see at all what she was wearing? Did it seem like maybe you caught the tail end of a changing?
Here's the thing. I don't know because it happened so fast.
Yeah, you caught the tail end.
And I caught the tail end. Oh, and I'm like, I was like, it happened so fast. I couldn't react. I couldn't do anything.
Wait, did you pick your pants up?
Wow. What is your relationship with this neighbor? Do you know them well enough?
We're friendly.
Okay. Is this the meth house or the other one?
No, this is the other one. This is the one I like.
I would think you like the meth house.
We're friendly. They talk, you know, we talk when we see each other in the driveway. We don't go to each other's house or anything, you know.
But, no, I just look in it.
We're getting in our car. Hey, stop looking at me with binoculars.
So now my predicament is like,
yesterday when you told us the story, we said let's talk to her on the phone.
Need her.
So
what happened?
I'm not doing that. I just want to not say anything, and hopefully it'll just pass, and we'll be friendly.
You were gonna get her on the phone, so
no.
This just in. It's never going to pass because you're always going to be our creepy neighbor that looked at me through the window with binoculars.
Did you at least go over and say, hey, this is what was happening?
At the very
least. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. What?
But now, you know, that's...
Did you say no?
No. So that was on Monday. Now, am I past the point of...
No. No. Every day that goes past, it's getting worse. You need to say, listen.
She's already told like 20 people.
Yeah. This has been bothering me, and I just need to come and address it. I'm so sorry. I was looking for bee stuff because some chick in my house said there might be a bee.
Maybe don't say bee stuff.
Yeah. You might want to rehearse that. But,
and then I saw
don't
your
you
bees.
Think that no matter whatever I say,
I was hoping
isn't
for sea stuff.
Right. I was hoping for tees, but your bees.
Anything I say, though, she's not going to buy.
I don't believe that.
You don't think so?
You already have a friendly relationship.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, I think she would give you the benefit.
But she doesn't know me. You know what I mean?
Well, you know her now. I really think you could say, there was yellow jackets, I was looking for a nest. I've been thinking about it, and I can't get out of my head that you, that I want to see you naked.
It's raining. I can't come in, you guys. It's raining out there and there's traffic.
I thought you guys like had a rapport and stuff. Like he started working here. I thought you. I didn't know he would just like see rain and not show up.
Yeah.
Now, all right. Here's Adam was supposed to be here a week ago or
two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, and it had rained a little. And my theory is that you opened the front door and you went, nope.
No, I was in my car.
In your driveway.
I was in my car, in my garage, next to my driveway, so you're partially correct. No, I'm not blaming it on Waze, but there is an emotional component to Waze.
Oh, sure.
That we've all experienced, like anyone who's had to do a show at the Irvine Improv, and you hop on the 134 or the 101 in Encino, and you drive for 8 feet, and it's get off on Havenhurst, right. Make a hard right. And you're like, what? I'm taking side streets to Irvine? Go down the alley where they filmed Starsky and Hutch. Right. And you're like, what? No, I haven't made it 8 feet. So
what did your waist say?
I got on the 210 out of La Cañada. I got on the 210, and it was like, get off on Chevy Chase and drive through Visconso Gardens. And it was pouring. And the waves just kept like spinning around. And I kept turning around. And eventually I got demoralized. I also was driving to the Culver City.
You were.
The medical patient. Oh,
that
no.
would have been so good.
Well, here's what happened. My assistant said, you're going to go to K-Rock on Wilshire. And I said, you mean in Culver City? And he's like, on Wilshire. And then you go to like Sirius XM on Wilshire like the next day. And I looked in my phone and he'd punched it in. And I said, oh, he screwed up this thing. And I wikied K-Rock. I went online and I went, where is K-Rock? Sure. Where's the place I used to
because
work?
Because you knew it was Culver City.
And it said Culver City.
Sure.
If you go there now, it still says Culver City, so I was driving to the wrong place.
Yeah, no one is
anyway.
Updating radio Wikipedia at this point.
It's a good point.
Even listening to radio.
What are the murderous stalkers going to do?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
How are they going to get their hands around your neck?
How are they going to find Meg? Exactly.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
How's Booger Man going to choke Jimmy out?
That's a long time story. That was great.
I love that story because it encapsulates radio. Booger
Explain,
Man.
Yeah.
So Jimmy, the sports guy then. Now,
for those of you who don't
Jimmy
know,
Kimmel.
Adam Carolla was on our show for a long, long time. And at the same time, Jimmy was. Became friends with Jimmy and knows a lot of these old stories.
So Jimmy was talking smack, I think, about Booger Man, who we don't even explain who Booger Man is. They
if
had
you know
Nasty
K-Rock's
Man,
history,
Booger
yeah.
Man, they just
I was
had everything.
Say,
yeah.
If you know K-Rock's history, you could just assume he was on air.
Somewhere between Kato Kaelin and Mother Love back in the day. And Jimmy started talking about him having sort of penis enlargement process or surgery or something. The thing about radio is people can hear you outside of the studio sometimes when they're riding a bike by the studio or sitting outside in their pickup truck. He had a key card. He came in and he started choking Jimmy in Frank Murphy's office the next, you know,
there were
in the
fingerprints
studio.
On his
wow.
throat.
No.
Yeah, he meant he was really angry.
It was serious. Like,
yeah.
I almost got up. Like, I was eating a breakfast burrito, and I was like, I'm this close to setting this down, bucko. Like, you better pray Jimmy doesn't turn another shade of purple.
Meanwhile, Jimmy's choking, and you're like, I don't know, I'm eating.
Well,
I'll see how bad it gets.
Do you ever really set down a breakfast burrito?
No, yeah.
And then can you fight a guy with a breakfast burrito? Like, these are all things that are running through my mind. So he's choking him, and eventually Jimmy gets him off, and he gets
wow.
out of there. And he doesn't.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
That's a whole other story.
I don't remember it that way.
He ceases to choke him anymore.
Okay, good.
While Jimmy chokes his chicken, and he gets him out of there, and there's not really any discipline to Booger Man. Like, there's like a slap on the wrist, and hey, no more choking coworkers.
Are you understood? Kidding?
Totally. Yeah, like, okay, totally. He got it out of his system.
This dude lived in a van. He lived in his van.
But later on, he was fired.
Yeah, sure.
He
yeah.
was fired.
What did he do?
I mean, what do you do to get fired at that point?
he gave away a mountain bike to one of his friends, like they did, you know, caller 106, sure. gets a free sure. Huffy. Yeah.
Which we get, we get in legal trouble
right,
for.
He gave it to his buddy, so that's where they drew the line. that's
choking Jimmy? All right, listen, just don't.
Choke a coworker, we're in.
That's right. The beauty.
Give away a bike, out.
That's the majesty of radio.
Adam is here. His first comedy special is Adam Carolla, not Taco Bell material.
My first comedy special.
Which yeah. is, which is, I don't know, to me that was shocking. I just figured you had 10, 15 of them.
I should have. You know, I did stand up at the very beginning, and then I did it at the end. That's where I'm at now.
But, I mean, your podcast, to me, a lot of times is just you doing stand-up.
It is.
In front of people.
It never got collected. Like, I never actually physically crafted a special. I just went from doing, like, open mics, and then I met you guys, and then Loveline and Man Show and Crank Anchors and everything else. And then I just got so lost in doing basic cable and syndicated radio that I never went out and did stand-up again. And then at a certain point, after I left this studio 10 years ago, the studio we're sitting in right now, leaving KLSX, I then started to embark on this stand-up journey again.
Now, I've watched it twice. I watched it once when you were supposed to come in 2 weeks ago.
And then
well, that's
it.
Why I didn't come in. I
totally forgot about it. And then I watched it again yesterday. Explain to people why it's called Not Taco Bell Material, if you don't mind.
I applied for a job when I was 16. I was going to North Hollywood High to the Taco Bell across the street from North Hollywood High, and I lived up the street from the Taco Bell, and they were accepting applications, but not mine. And that left a stain because I was like, I was 16. I was rejected from Taco Bell, and I failed driver's ed, like in the same week period. And I was like permanently sort of hobbled by that emotionally. And yeah, I'm still not right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's
those are like obvious. Teenage death sentences. Like, just alone, driver's ed, I remember that. When kids failed, it was a nightmare for them.
Oh, my God. It's the worst ever because I didn't fail because I didn't show up. I failed because I failed to do, like, a 10-page report on passive restraints or airbags, friend or foe, or, like, whatever it was back then.
I think you were taking a fake test.
Maybe it was.
Friend or foe.
But either way, I had to then go take it at the Sears place at the strip mall across from the Van Nuys DMV.
That's the most 818 thing you've ever said.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I had a driver's... And then I took driver's training in a private place too,
okay.
Like you pay for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And this guy just put me in the car, and he just like direct me to drive around town.
I feel like those people are the worst.
Oh my God!
Right?
Oh, let me give you a Me Too
Please.
Moment. This dude, this guy was like Israeli, and he's like, "Turn on Western, turn here. Yes, turn into 7-Eleven, turn in here." And I wait in the car. He goes in the car.
Oh, no.
I sit in the car. He goes into the 7-Eleven. He comes out with a Hustler. Opens it up and goes, "Look, it's 3D." Like it was back then when 3D porn was like a huge.
And I'm
going to
need the car
breakdown.
For about 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. He was showing it to me.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Do you know what happened with my driver?
What happened?
I had never been on a freeway, and he's like, "Well, first day, good time to learn."
First day.
Took me on the freeway to Chatsworth and brought me to the canyons where Manson used to have his meetings.
Spawn
and told
Ranch.
You about it?
What?
Told me about it. He's like, "Just pull up here." Pulled up, got out of the car, and I'm like, "This feels really bad and really not okay." He just wanted to fill me in on Charles Manson.
Was he trying to impress you?
He was, I
or
think.
Or murder her.
Going to murder me at
One
some
or both.
Point. But I got home, and I was like, "Mom, yeah, I drove on the freeway." She's like, "What?" And I said, "And I saw where Charles Manson had his meeting." She's like, "That guy's fired."
What?
That's
yeah, evidently, these guys were all inappropriate.
Insane.
I can't
yeah.
believe driver's ed teachers are
right?
weird.
That's so weird. Adam, I also thought that it was just a rumor that you didn't receive your diploma because of a late fee for a book from the library.
That's
I thought
not
that
real.
Was a joke.
It is 100% true.
It's like, in a special. I was like, I
know,
honestly thought
no.
that was a joke. That was you're kidding.
No, I graduated barely from North Hollywood High, and I went to in the ceremony, and they're handing everyone their diplomas, and then they didn't hand me a diploma, and I was like, "Where's my diploma?" And they're like, "You go down, pay the book room $19.95 for We the People, and you get a diploma."
Now wait, they didn't tell you this until you're walking across the stage?
They might have tried to notify me in some fashion.
You but kept putting it in that book.
Yes, I was sort of unreachable back then, and so I was like. Or what? And they're like, or you don't get your diploma. And I scrolled through a quick history and of my life, and I realized I don't think I'm going to use this thing. Like, I'm not sure that anyone.
It just played out everything.
I'm going to clean carpets in Van Nuys. Yeah. I don't.
So think... was it worth the $19.95 to go pay off the book?
No. Well, when has anyone wanted to see your diploma?
Never. No, never. Never.
True. No one's ever wanted. Where's your? Oh, it's in the glove. Honey, go to the car. It's in the glove box. Don't get it. What? Don't set your drink down on it. That's important parchment. Like, I knew no one would ever want to see it, and I never paid them their $19.95. That was, by the way, that was a big ticket item for the Corollas back in 1982. That would be like $37 today, you know? So I was like, screw you. I'm walking out on this bar tab. And I got into carpet cleaning, and then I got into construction, and then I got into radio, and I got into comedy.
And no one
got,
ever cared.
No one ever asked. If you've learned anything from Adam Carolla today, just say you graduated.
Right.
No one ever checks.
By the way, I'd like to say too. Same with college.
Yeah, Lori Loughlin.
Zero people.
Lori Loughlin didn't have to pay a dollar. Just say they graduated Yale.
Right.
Say
no one checks.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, I already worked it out with Drew. Like my kids went to Amherst. Lord Jeff was our mascot.
Yeah,
you know,
I get all the names.
I was in Johnson Hall. You know, and that's it. You're done. Easy. Just save yourself $200,000.
Adam Carolla is here. We need to take a break. The comedy special is Adam Carolla, not Taco Bell material, and you can get it at chassis.com. That's C-H-A-S-S. Y.com. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Adam Carolla is our guest in studio. Adam, I would like to ask you about the early days when you replaced Howard Stern.
Yes.
And then they said, we don't want you anymore.
All right? Yes.
Then you went right to podcasting. Was that even a thing then? You were one of the first, right?
Yeah, one of them. My thing was I would sit right where you're standing and every so often in the last few years when I was taken over for Howard Stern, they would come through the door right behind us and they'd go, oh, man, you guys blow hard. You did have 18 million minutes of streaming last month. Right. And I'd go, well, that's got to count
Seems
for
like a ton.
Something,
yeah.
Right? And they'd
right.
go, no, not, we're not interested in that. In classic radio form.
Yep.
They were like, no. And I was like, well, you're having millions of minutes of streaming. That means people are listening in Chicago and Hawaii and stuff like that. And they were like, yeah, we're not on the air there. And I was like, yeah, but that's why they're streaming there. Like, you guys should be able to figure out how to make a nickel out of 18 million minutes of streaming.
I think that they figured that out in the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Right. Streaming. So this is 11 years ago when I'm standing where you're standing, and they're just going, nah, you guys suck. And they just leave. And it sort of stuck in my head. So when they flipped the format in 2009, I was like, I don't think we could take those streaming people and give them a show online.
But like I say, it wasn't really, podcasting wasn't like it is now where there's millions of different options and everybody's doing it. You were one of the first.
Yeah, it wasn't that way. It's actually, there's only about a 4-month period I was able to enjoy my success as a podcaster because for the first part, it was like, what's a podcart? And I go, it's like a radio. Oh, yeah, good luck getting back on the radio, dude. And then they'd leave. So that was the first part. Now you go, I do a podcast, and they go, my friend's a mobile pet groomer, and he does a podcast out of his van.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, okay. So it's zero. It's back to zero. There's like a 4-month period in like 2015 where I
impressive.
Got to actually enjoy my success.
Well,
right.
Talking about your success, I'd like to maybe bring it back to a contractor question.
Sure.
If possible. I talked about this the other day. I think my pregnant wife was made a big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
We were
in marrying you.
Well, that's true. We were pressure wash outside on the concrete, and we didn't have a plug anywhere near. So she got a 50-foot outdoor extension cord and ran it from the house to the patio, and about half of it was submerged about 2 feet into the pool of the extension cord.
Yeah.
She then plugged it into the outlet dry. into the house,
yeah.
and then into the power wash, again, dry, and then power wash. What were the chances she could have died right there?
I'd like to point out, before you answer that, I'd like to point out that Jensen never stepped in and said, I'll do it.
Well,
his pregnant wife did it.
For a couple minutes, I said, this is probably a bad idea.
For a couple minutes while you were Googling, is it a bad idea?
I Googled, is it a bad idea, almost directly, word for word.
Well, first off, God bless you for marrying a Viking. She's out there. She's breaching. She's barefoot. It's raining. She's got the pressure washer dialed up to 110
woman.
PSI.
Yeah, strong woman.
Yeah, it's a sharp contrast to the relationship I have with my wife, which is... We Home Depot commercial comes on where the sassy chick's up front at the paint department. The guys a step back, and I go, you see this? This is what happens sometimes.
No, no.
People do this.
Yeah, I was inside playing the Nintendo Switch at some point. It's the exact opposite.
Well, there's an outdoor outlet, and the outdoor outlet probably had a GFI outlet, I mean, a ground force.
But she was indoor.
That's the three-prong one?
No, because he's right.
No, that's the one with the reset button mm-hmm. in it that you put near your sink or in your bathroom.
Yeah.
Anywhere near water source or exterior will have that GFI.
This was not that. This was just an indoor, normal outlet that she was using because we had none
still.
Outside. Okay, so you can go say
See, Kevin remembers you can win any argument.
But still.
You can tie any argument.
Yeah, but still, and if that doesn't work, you go, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Those are the rules. No one can argue that.
You'll tie it with yeah, but still, and win it with I'm just saying. So this wasn't a GFI outlet.
Right.
Yeah, but still.
Okay. Well,
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Oh, now you won.
I'm just saying. All right. You guys have a good show.
I was there.
It actually worked.
Yeah, it was probably okay if it was a new cord.
It was,
but I wouldn't recommend it. And after you have the youngin,
right.
make sure the youngin's not in the pool when the cable's going through it.
Right.
And anyone who saw Jaws 2 or 3 knows that's how the shark died at the end. Like, bit like a huge electrical cable.
Well, now you're
cable.
Saying it's positive.
Yes, okay. It is.
Spoiler alert, for God's sakes, Adam.
Yeah,
people haven't watched it yet.
On the radio. I've been waiting 30 years to watch that Jaws sequel.
How about your wife is out there pressure washing
right.
while you're
right?
inside playing Fortnite?
Yeah, she
read
us. She was killing it.
Wow.
She's a trooper.
She knew what she was getting into, though. I will say that.
Yes.
She knew when she was married.
But I'm more of an assistant. I'm a sous chef.
You cheer her on. That's what you do. Adam, you did talk one time about these key to success is persistence.
Yes.
And I would just like to clarify that because I hear you say that and I hear people on the stage getting an Oscar say that. Just stick with it. Whatever your dream is, just stick with it. I'd like to say, hey, pick a good dream for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Armenian comedian who you know well.
Sure.
Has all the confidence in the world. He can be persistent for the rest of his life, and he won't succeed because he didn't pick wisely.
Yeah.
You have to pick what you're going to do, commensurate with what you can do.
I agree.
Right?
It'd be nice if you had the ability. I think that's what we love about sports and hate about comedy. If the Armenian comedian was like, look, I'm playing forward for the Lakers, that dream is dashed upon birth.
Right.
Right. But when you say you're going to do comedy or you're going to write country songs, there is nobody who actually intervenes and says, you cannot do this anymore.
You can be not successful and continue being not successful, but they won't stop you.
Also, it kind of flies in the face of the Me Too movement because every single story from anyone older than 60, where'd you go, how'd you two meet? Well, I met her on campus, senior year of high school. She turned around and walked the other way, but I didn't give up.
Yeah.
I didn't give up, man. I was persistent. And then I showed up at her door, and she slammed the door in my face, and I popped up through her window at night, and then I dropped in through the flue in her kitchen, you know? And she kept walking. She was engaged at the time, and she had a couple of kids from a previous marriage, and she was a lesbian, but I wouldn't quit. I wouldn't quit. And eventually, I got some rope and some duct tape and an ether rag. And now we've been married for 26 years.
Courtship in the 50s was assault.
And I swear to God, every one of the stories was, she didn't like me. Your Nana never liked me. But I didn't stop. That didn't slow me down.
Yeah, that kind of persistence maybe isn't good.
That's what crowbars are for.
Yeah.
Yes, I heard a great man on the radio on April 26th, 2017 say these words. Quitters never give up. Quitters never give up is a thing he said. We made it into a T-shirt.
I did say that.
Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
So that's why he was asking you. He said, can I have some backup?
And then Beat immediately said, that's exactly what they do.
I was doing a Crank Yankers episode once, and I called, and I was talking to some woman, and I said, you know, my mom, whatever character I was doing, probably Mr. Burcham, I was like, my mom's passed away. And I paused and I said, a child should never have to bury a mother. And the woman went, oh, God, I agree. And it's the same, right? Yeah. It sounds good at the time.
Right.
It doesn't really mean anything. Right. It kind of means the opposite.
Right.
Crane Kicker's coming back.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we could talk about that. But it reminds me quickly. Jimmy had his brother-in-law a million years ago, Carson. Remember
sure.
Carson?
Mm-hmm.
Not Carson Daly, but Carson, brother-in-law. And he printed up like 5,000 T-shirts back in those, like, remember when T-shirts were like, second place is first loser, like
right.
all that stuff.
No like, fear.
No fear stuff.
Yeah.
And he presented one for me and Jimmy, and it said, scars heal, losing doesn't. And I was like, I think the definition of a scar. I have a smallpox vaccination from 1965. It's still there. It's still there. You can see it if I pull my sleeve up. So we all do it. Even the greats.
Even the greats.
Even the greats.
Even the greats.
All right, Adam, before you go, we would like to do 60 seconds. So I'm just going to rapid fire questions. You give me whatever comes to your mind at once. Ready?
Yes.
60 seconds with Adam Carolla. What did you want to be as a kid?
Fireman?
Twizzlers or Red Vines?
Red Vines.
Would you rather hang out with a guy named Chuck or a guy named Harold?
Chuck, as long as he didn't ask people to call him Charles.
Okay. Walnuts, worst nut ever or hot dirt?
They are hot dirt, and they're both. They're simultaneously, depends their application. Crush them up and put them on top of oatmeal with enough brown sugar, and they take a turn for the good. They're like a gun. In the hands of a cop, great. In the hands of Al-Qaeda, bad. That's what a walnut is.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
No, I don't mind if it happens to me. Only to wake up people that have passed out in weird places. Other than that, it's bizarre and borders on sexual.
Washcloths in the shower, yes or no?
No, I'm not a fan. Not
How
a fan.
Do you clean your ass?
Because it goes from your ass to your face.
You don't use it on your face.
Hold on, Adam made a great point.
You never use a washcloth on
you
your
don't.
Face.
You don't. The next person does.
You put it in the hamper.
Oh,
you
no.
You use it once.
Ellie
no.
made fun of me because she says I can't be clean if I don't use a washcloth. And I'm like, of course you can
How
be.
Are you cleaning your butt?
How dirty is your butt?
Well, first...
Not at all. Thank you.
You've got to get one of those paper. Toilet seats that fires the pressure. Your wife would understand.
Rich
the pressure
have her install it.
Yeah, have her install that bad
watch
boy.
Watch her. Yeah, watch her do it.
Adam, I had one of those in a hotel. Finally, we have to go, but I have one in a hotel, and I didn't know how to work it. So I turned it on, and then nothing happened. So, of course, me being an idiot, turned it on more, and it pretty much destroyed me.
Yeah.
It went straight. It came out my eyes and my nose. And I was up against the roof, the ceiling.
I was like, I mean, maybe I turned that up just a little bit too much.
Oh, God.
I never wish there was a video more.
The Riga Royal in New York City was the first place we all experienced that.
That's so painful. All right. The comedy special is Adam Carolla, not Taco Bell material. You can get it at iTunes or at Chassis, that's chassy.com. Adam, you're always welcome. Thank you for coming. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55. Your chance to win tickets to see the Black Keys at the Forum and qualify to see them in Life is Beautiful in Las Vegas is coming up in about 5 minutes. And I also want to mention, if you just woke up, you may have missed Omar being a perv on the program today. Job interview horror stories that we took. Earlier today,
there's one weird dude who ended that segment talking very strange about a woman that came in. Very odd.
And if you missed Adam Carolla, as usual, he's always funny. So download the podcast. You can get that at iTunes or radio.com. It is 8:56 now. Allie is here with what's happening.
Well, good Lord, Cabo Del Mar.
Right?
Returning September 13th through the 15th, they have released their lineup. This is the time of year where it's like, okay, Lollapalooza yesterday. We had the 50-year Woodstock. Yeah. We knew Coachella before. Next, we'll have... It's just the time where we get everybody's lineups for all these festivals coming out. But this one... Pretty nice, you guys. Tickets go on sale today, right now. They're on sale. 7 a.m. Pacific. That was a couple hours ago.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
All right, well, Cabo Del Mar. Friday, headliner is Kings of Leon. Saturday, headliner, Dave Matthews Band. Sunday, Mumford & Sons. Let's go through some of the other bands appearing. Duran Duran.
All right.
What?
I like that.
Black Eyed Peas, One Republic, Maren Morris, The Revivalists, The Bangles. What?
Love it.
Wow.
Snoop Dogg, Wu-Tang Clan, REO Speedwagon, Boys to Men, Silver Sun Pickups, Squeeze, Get Out. The front door.
This is just an iPod. Like, this just is, press an iPod, yes, and shuffle. Yeah.
This is so good.
They always have good lineups.
Yeah. You've got Mixmaster Mike. You've got Plain White Tees. Edie Brickell.
My favorite little musician, Alec Benjamin, will be performing.
Benjamin. Yeah. Lifehouse. Switchfoot. I mean, it's like you're just like shuffle, boop, on your iPod, and these are all the bands. I do wonder about Blind Melon.
Yeah, who's singing?
I don't know. But we'll look it up.
We'll find out.
But yeah, and then they've got a comedy tent with Bert Kreischer, Pete Holmes and friends, Bob Saget, Kevin Smith, Tig Notaro, Jen Kirkman. All right, Cabo Del Mar.
Well done.
Well done, I say. Also, well done. You won't hear this a lot this season. Well done, LA Kings. Oh, you guys.
I mean, it's been a rough season.
It's been a tough season.
Yeah.
But tonight is going to be worth watching. Of course, they're playing the Sharks. Don't watch for that. Don't watch for that. But you will watch for their special guests. They've been doing this really fun thing where they have celebrities come in, sit down. They'll do some interviews with the anchors outside for a bit. Then they'll go into the booth. They'll do interviews at the glass. So fun. You've had Eric Stone Street, Snoop Dogg, Kevin Ryder. I mean, come on. Retta from Parks and Rec and
they'll take
Good
anyone.
Girls.
Yeah. Someone called it sick, clearly.
But I have to say...
I was like, how many people canceled before you got to me?
Yeah.
Tonight's guest? It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Legendary anchorman and broadcaster, Ron Burgundy. Yeah!
Bitchin'.
Will be part of the telecast tonight. You guys, are you kidding me?
That's going to be great.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's scheduled to be with the Kings in the booth starting at the second period. I cannot wait for that.
By the way, the singer of Blind Melon is now someone new. He had been in the band. He had been Travis Warren.
I think that's a given.
Travis Warren had been in the band right after Shannon passed away, basically, and now he's back and performing.
Okay. Oh, excellent. I'd love to hear his voice.
But if there's no B-girl there,
right?
I'm not interested.
She's got to be, what, 30 now?
Yeah, she can't be young. But put her in the suit. Get her
Absolutely.
Up there.
Absolutely.
It's a festival.
That's a sad B, 30-year-old B.
You think Omar would be looking at it?
Probably.
With
binoculars?
Yeah. Most likely.
Sorry, I was looking at the B.
Sorry, I thought you were B-girl in your window.
You'd think Omar. He's got, you know, all the ladies talking about him on social media. He doesn't need to use binoculars to see some woman.
Such a creep.
That's how he rolls.
Some birthdays for you guys. Gary Oldman, Matthew Broderick, Timothy Dalton, and Rosie O'Donnell, and that.
Congratulations to Patrick Burrick from Santa Clarita. Won 2 tickets to see the Black Keys at the Forum and qualified to see a VIP trip to Las Vegas for Life is Beautiful.
Congrats.
It's time to talk to Dr. Drew. Good morning, Dr. Drew.
Good morning, guys.
Before we get into the topic, I have one quick question.
Yeah.
And I know we've talked to this to you about this probably 15 times, and I can never remember the answer.
All right.
Starting to get a cold, anything you can do?
No.
Oh,
no.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, just, you
Great
know.
Chat.
Yeah, bye. I mean, decongestants and hot showers and steam. And if you really, if there is stakes, in other words, you're a singer or something, somebody could put you on steroids to decrease the inflammatory response, but you just got to ride it out. That's what I'm in the middle of right now. It just is what it is.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and also before we begin, there's a rumor that you might believe that our last guest that was just in here, Adam Carolla, you might think he's psychotic.
No, no, no. Just us. It's just us talking, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
No,
it's just us. Listening. Yeah. No one's listening.
We're good.
Okay. So I was describing. It's just us. Just
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was describing to an expert in psychopathy some of the unusual characteristics that Mr. Kroll has. You know, mm-hmm. we've worked together for 25 years. He barely has a pulse. His pulse is like 40. It helps him. He sees things other people don't see because everything's like in slow motion for him. He never accelerates his pulse. He doesn't seem to have feelings about the things that the most of us feel. And she goes, oh, he's a pro-social psychopath.
What does that mean?
And I go, and she goes, do the trolley experiment with him. You know what the trolley experiment is?
No.
Well, where you ask somebody, you know, there's a trolley going down the track with five people in it. There's the trolley's going to go off a bridge. You know it for sure. And you can pull a lever, but when you pull that lever, it's going to divert the trolley to kill a person. But it'll save the five. Can you pull the lever? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm definitely
most
saving,
people,
yeah.
Most people can.
Yeah.
Now you're up on a bridge, same situation, trolley's going to go, five people are going to die. There's a dude standing next to you. You have to push him off the bridge to stop the trolley. He will die, but you'll save the five. You
yeah.
Do it?
Yeah. I feel like it's just math.
I'm
yeah.
always saving
oh,
for math. Yeah.
I don't think I could push someone off
right.
a bridge.
But you'd be saving five lives.
But you start to drop off. Let's say you're 10 to yours. Let's say it's a Caltech student who's going to save, you know. You can start to add things
okay.
to make it more difficult
okay.
to push the guy.
All right.
Now... And, of course, Adam had no trouble pushing the guy off the bridge. Now your son is standing next to you.
Never.
Now
I would never
son.
Never push him.
You
no.
could.
Adam just looks at me and goes, he's going over.
Yeah, but he's being funny.
Well, it bothered me all week. And I brought you have to listen to the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast to hear the conversation. And I brought it back. I said, do you understand? If I did that, I'd have to kill myself immediately
yes.
after. Or... I'd throw myself in front of this, you know, trolley
right.
50 times.
Anything but not kill
yeah.
your son.
I mean, yeah. it's if there were 100 people, it's not a choice.
Yeah. yeah.
Right. And so
you said
still
my
in the
son's going over.
We're still in it. We're
You're still working it out.
It.
Okay.
Drew,
all right.
Drew, he also told us today that every morning he wakes up and jumps in the pool no matter what the weather is or how cold it is. He starts his day by jumping in a pool every day.
Instead of taking a shower.
Yeah.
He tortures himself. He throws him. When he was in New England, it was the best because the water was coming out at like 20 degrees.
Oh.
And he thinks that's how you toughen yourself up. And I thought to myself, I remember when G. Gordon Liddy used to do that by holding a match to his hand.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that's the guy I want to be admiring, but
no.
okay.
No.
All right.
I mean,
no,
I think he just does it not to use soap.
There's that, but
right?
also he no, we have long talks about this. It's,
yeah.
it's about getting some grit and toughening yourself up and preparing your body for when you really need to be tough.
Well,
a lot of Navy SEALs and people that train those guys will say,
yeah, but those are Navy SEALs.
Well, right.
No better ad for Drew and his podcast and Adam's podcast because I need to know all of his weird life. Now.
Yes.
Now I'm my tongue is deeply embedded in my cheek. I love my co-host, but I think the headline here is. Don't assume everyone's mind and brain works the way yours does.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
That's all right. I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. What we want to talk to you about today, Dr. Drew, is CBD because I take it and I think you take it. Is that correct?
Now we're on the air, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
now we're on the air.
Yeah.
Okay. I have taken it. My wife has taken it. I am very comfortable with patients of mine taking it on their own if they wish.
So here's my question, though, is... The benefits of CBD are endless. Oh, depression. You'll have no more pain. You'll have no more. It's ridiculous what people offer as a positive from taking CBD.
Right. And we have no clinical evidence of anything yet. That's the problem. Mm. So the research is way behind all the anecdotal claims. Now, we've all talked to somebody that has had some good effects. They you know, sleep, joint aches, mood. Anxiety. They're claiming all sorts of things.
I feel like it's helped me sleep a little bit better,
yeah.
And it also gives me a little bit more energy. Mm-hmm. Could that be in my mind? Yeah, but that's
can we get this out of the way? Because someone listening right now is like, I'm not taking something that'll get me high. Can we get that fallacy out of the way that this is not going to get you
not,
high?
It does not cause the reward. It does not cause addiction. It does mm-hmm. not make you intoxicated.
There's no THC in it.
But no, well, some of them have a little THC, but not enough to make you high. But it is there's some weird wrinkle in the law where all the CBD manufacturers are saying it's not psychoactive, but it will affect your mood and your anxiety. Well, that
that's
means
psychoactive.
And
yeah.
you'll love to eat Cheetos right after.
Right. So it is psychoactive. We just don't know the effect. Now here's the conundrum I have.
Okay.
Which is I took it it disrupted my sleep.
It did. So
it had a negative effect on my sleep.
Okay.
My wife took it. The next day, she had panic attacks, and she is not prone to panic.
Dr. Drew, let me
hold on. And I've seen now three cases of severe panic from CBD, seemingly from CBD.
Let me ask you a question about that. There are a lot of variables about how you sleep. And about
this
anxiety.
Is the point. Somebody has to study. This is why we need clinical studies to make claims. There's no claims that can really be made yet. So I, as a physician, cannot use it because there's no evidence basis for it yet. There hopefully will come a time. That'd be nice.
So in your mind, you think there are possibilities, but there's studies to support that.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And there appears to be some significant downside. Like I said, I'm struggling with one patient right now whose life was turned upside down by the panic she developed from CBD.
Mm. Now,
never had panic before in her life, and all of a sudden this emerged. And I'm well aware that all the cannabinoids are, well, we don't know which one yet because we haven't studied it, but cannabinoids generally have been tagged to be associated with panic.
Would there be any concern if you're on different medications and not taking CBD?
Of course.
Isn't a huge deal about this, Drew, that there's not a lot of regulations?
Is it a huge deal there's not a lot of regulations?
That's concerning, no?
The huge deal, to me, the huge deal is that this chemical has been put on a shelf for so many years that we've not been able to do the research. And that's the real tragedy.
Why hasn't there been research?
Because it was a Schedule I drug. It was ridiculous. It was all those drugs that the government decided were evil for no good reason. There's no such thing as an evil molecule. That's the most bizarre idea in the world. And so physicians and researchers couldn't touch them. And now here we are, we're legal, we can all use it. Now we don't have the research to help us understand how. That's the big headline for me, is that the whole thing is so stupid, but now we're catching up.
Okay, but so I'm taking it, and you would say, as long as I don't see any negative side effects, okay?
Yeah, if it's working for you.
Sure. How much? The question is, and this is also a piece we don't know, how much are you taking?
I mean, it's in gummy bears, and I love gummy bears.
You have about 15 a night? 15 of the gummy bears?
I mean, I do sometimes take more than required.
How much are you taking?
No, not really. I mean, I don't know. It says a regular adult dose is two gummy bears, so sometimes three or four. Because gummy bears are good.
Like probably 90 milligrams, something like that?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
I take four.
God help me.
I take a yellow one and a red one.
And a grape one.
Jeez.
But it's not something people should be afraid of. Just don't believe all the hype.
But you know, if you're here's the other part that worries me too, is it's a very bad idea to treat yourself for a medical problem. That if you with
I
your
found
physician,
it works well.
Yeah, I know a lot about this stuff. I would never dream of treating myself. It's a bad idea. But if you with your doctor decide this is something you want to do, or they sort of or they look the other way and say I'm not sure if you should or you shouldn't, but that's on you. Fine, then that's an okay situation. But to just go, I've diagnosed myself with depression, with panic, and now I'm going to treat myself with, that's a bad idea.
Right.
All right.
That makes sense.
All right. I might have to change things up.
Oh, my God. That was such a buzzkill to Kevin.
Maybe only two gummy bears.
I did not direct him to anything.
No,
Kevin, stop eating 15.
They're so good, though.
He was looking for a green light to take eight gummy bears.
Exactly.
They're so
exactly.
good. That's the thing.
Buzzkill.
Follow Dr. Drew on Twitter at Dr. Drew. He's got four different podcasts. You can get those at drdrew.com. He also does Dr. Drew Midday Live Monday to Friday from noon to 3 on 790 KABC.
He has that podcast with a psychopath.
His podcast with Adam, sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the app is Heal. You can get a doctor in the comfort of your own home. Dr. Drew, thank you. We appreciate it. 106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 942. We do have a pair of tickets to see Jim Jefferies, one of the best in the business.
Nice.
The Night Talker Tour is the name of it. It's at the theater at the Ace Hotel, April 6th. And we have a pair of tickets to give away right now to caller 20, 1-800-520-1067. If you're caller 20, you will win those tickets.
Go get them.
Time for one last look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
Did you see a show came back this week?
Jim Jefferies show? Yes. That show is consistently great.
I'm going to tell you, I think the field pieces that he does are some of the best that have ever been on television.
I agree.
He's so good at asking all the pertinent questions, making it funny, and completely turning it around on the person they don't see it coming.
And being a dick and they don't know it.
Absolutely. He's the best. Those field pieces are some of the most wonderful things I've ever seen. So
Jim Jeffries says no.
No, Jim. No, I'm telling you, Jim. They're excellent, and you do a great job, as do all your producers on that show. So
Jim Jeffries says no.
Jim, I'm complimenting you.
He doesn't take good compliments Lord. Very well.
You there, Jim? You okay?
Jim Jeffries says no.
Oh, my God. Okay. He only knows that.
It's very odd.
We should get him saying something else.
We really should.
Because we've had him on the show many times.
But no means no.
Jim Jeffries says no.
Okay. I think my favorite was, I think it was the last time he was on. Had a great time. He was wonderful. And then after he left, we started talking about burgers. And I think it was Dave
right,
or someone
or
was like, In-N-Out's the worst. Ugh. The phone line rang and it was Jim Jeffries irate. Just funny. Wanted to yell at Dave. He's like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He is a delight is all I'm saying. I love Jim Jeffries so very much.
Jim Jeffries says no.
All right. I'm going to still love you even though you tell me not to. You guys.
Yes.
So here's the thing. The Library of Congress has the National Recording Registry. There's about 525 recordings that have been deemed, quote, worthy of preservation because of their cultural, historic, and aesthetic importance to the nation's recorded sound heritage.
Wow.
Aesthetic is another word that is hard for me. But basically, it has to be a pretty, not only damn good song, but has done something. So you're like, oh, that's a part of history. Right
Can I
there,
guess?
Right? Yes, please.
Mama,
yeah.
Just kill a man. Mm-hmm. Put a gun against his head.
It's very hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead.
They made a movie about that
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that song, definitely not that version.
Well, he wrote it for Queen, so.
Right.
He did. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Excellent. Would you like to know some of the songs that are being added?
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
she has passed, unfortunately. Oh. Jay-Z's The Blueprint, Cyndi Lauper's She's So Unusual, Curtis Mayfield's Superfly soundtrack, Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline, and Nina Simone's Mississippi Goddamn are among the 25 recordings added now.
Kind of tough to argue with any of those.
Yeah. Those are all good.
Also, pretty eclectic list. Earth, Wind, and Fire's hit September.
Mm-hmm.
The original Broadway cast recording of the musical Hair.
All right.
Richie Valens, La Bamba.
Mm-hmm. What about...
Eat free Monday. Mm-hmm. It's a yeah. fun day. And it's happening.
Even though it's happening all around the world, that song didn't catch on quite as much,
what?
Which is odd.
Awful.
Which is odd. However...
How about this one?
Yeah. I mean...
No.
At some point, I feel like it might be.
Your time is up, my time
right?
is now.
Yeah.
You can't see me, my time is now.
You can't see me. Maybe that's why it's not in. They're like, does that song exist?
We would, but we can't see it.
Yeah.
That's it.
However, this one that was just added, I thought, oh, how has that not been in there before?
Shiz. Oh, my God. Shiz. Let's get some shiz. Let's get some shiz.
Right? That's what you're talking about?
We all love shoes.
Right?
It is not that one. Oh. However, I'm going to put that on the wait list.
Right?
Should be in there. No more guesses?
No.
You're out.
How about Hamster?
Come on, play more.
I'm a hamster, not a trapeze artist. I'm not a circus act. I'm a hamster. Am I in any way related to the wheel? I have nothing in common with wheels. Sure, I run on it sometimes, but if I don't, some jerk with a smelly hand will put me on it and try and spin the wheel. Try and teach me how to spin on it.
It's deep.
Do you know who that is?
No.
That is Vincent D'Onofrio.
A treasure.
Yes,
for real.
A treasure.
He
Detective,
seems chill.
Yeah. Detective yeah. Gorn from... What was that? Was it... not SVU. It was... What was his... He was a detective on Law & Order, but which one? Which one?
Oh, CSI.
No.
Cat says criminal intent.
Criminal intent. Thank you.
Come on. We were trying to not help her.
They're holding up a CI. I'm assuming there's an S in the middle.
I wasn't sure what she was doing. Yeah, that's definitely criminal intent.
Right.
Thank you so much.
We did it.
We weren't helping on purpose, and now everybody else is trying to help.
You're like, CSI? I'm like, no.
Yeah. Oh.
Chip took the position of just looking at you.
I appreciate that.
Nice.
It's good times. Right. Anywho, him. He was also in Mystic Pizza. And,
I'm a daredevil,
the most recent daredevil. I don't like to talk about it because it makes me sad that it's gone. So,
Robert,
sorry about that. Stay on target. You guys, it looks like Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton are waiting for the church's seal of approval before they walk down the aisle.
Jim Jefferies says no.
No, it's true. Reporting this story. So Gwen Stefani is a practicing Roman Catholic, and she recently began the formal process for the church to annul her marriage to her ex-husband, Gavin Rossdale, which seems, I'm not aware, but they were married for 13 years. You usually don't annul a marriage that went on that long.
I thought there was a limit to how long you could annul it.
Isn't it all about wanting to be married in a church and not being divorced before?
This is why.
So they're cheating, breaking the rules.
Well, no, she wants to be married in the church and have it recognized by the church. So you do that by getting annulled. But I have never seen somebody annul a marriage that went on for 13 years. Usually it's, you know, a couple years, then you are like,
I thought it was like 6 months. I thought there was a limit.
Yeah. But I don't know. But unclear what grounds Stefani may be seeking an annulment under. Again, we don't know any of this because this is just Us Weekly reporting it. In a month, she could be like, I am not Roman Catholic at all. But
it's very
that's
possible.
Not true. I believe she is Roman Catholic.
She's bananas.
That's
file.
Not even worthy of a file.
I
the
say file.
File just spit it out.
I say file.
Really?
You're a loser.
Okay. All right. There you go. Right there.
At least you could have spelled it out, for God's sake.
I was going to, and then I thought we all want to leave.
A little effort.
Yeah, I want to get out.
We want to get out of here, you guys. Some birthdays for you. Gary Oldman, Rosie O'Donnell, Timothy Dalton, Matthew Broderick. That's what's happening.
Thanks, Ellie. And drive home tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Jeff Tremaine in studio, who has directed the new Motley Crue movie called Dirt. Very excited about that. We have Ashley Escada on the program tomorrow. They're going to stop the robocalls, I think.
God, I
that's the rumor now.
To your
You're
cell
not
going to
get those weird calls that look just like your number.
Right?
You know that one?
Yes.
So annoying.
It's the worst. You're like, am I calling myself?
And Friday morning, so it is.